In your Bibles, we noticed just a few minutes ago, we read the scripture and read it together even, where the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. I said a few moments ago, I preached this morning on declare your dependence on God. Declare your dependence on God. You know, July the 4th, as we will celebrate tomorrow, is a time where we celebrate our Declaration of Independence. But you'll see through history that I'll give you here in just a little bit, also perhaps you well know yourself and should, that it was really a declaration of our forefathers to be dependent upon God. And what a wonderful thing it is to have a land that we live in that is a land that was established as, may I say, very strongly, as a Christian nation. And because of that, we can be able to stand for that which is the faith that was once delivered unto us from our forefathers of years ago. It kind of reminds me, if you'll read in the book of Deuteronomy, if you'll turn there, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 6 through 10, we'll kind of stay in Deuteronomy. I'll go back and forth in different places. But as I was reading the scriptures and as I was preparing for this message, my heart went back to the time of Israel, when Israel was highly blessed of God, but then made some other decisions. And then, of course, as I began to study that out, my heart rested in Deuteronomy chapter 8, where the Bible says in verse 6, the Bible says, therefore, it says, thou shalt keep, it says, the commandments of the Lord thy God, and to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into the land of good. Now, I want you to think about America through this. This is talking about Israel, but I think definitively you could also see that this could describe our very land here in America. The Bible says in verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land with brooks of water. And the Bible says in fountains, and it says in the depths of the springs, out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat, barley. The Bible says in vines and fig trees and pomegranates. The Bible says a land of oil, olive, and honey. The Bible says, and wherein thou shalt eat bread, it says, without scarceness. It says, thou shalt not lack anything in it. My, you know, again, you just think how this kind of lines up with our country, America, because in America, we have certainly been blessed. We have been blessed. I mean, God has richly poured out his blessings upon our land. The Bible says in the land, it says, whose stones are iron, and out of those hills, it said, thou mayest dig brass. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, and thou hast eaten and art full. It says, and when thou art eaten, that when thou hast eaten and are full, it says, thou shalt bless the Lord, watch it, thy God, for the good land which thou which he hath given thee. So the Bible says that to those that were the Israelites, he said, and don't forget now, I'm the one that gave you this land. May I remind us as Americans that it is God that gave us this land. The reason that we have the pleasures that we have in America is because of God. The reason that God has blessed our country is because this country was founded upon that which is Christian principles, yea, the Word of God. And because of that, God has richly poured out his blessing on our country. May we never forget the reason that we have the goodness that we have in our country is because of one reason, and that one reason is the Almighty God has chosen to do so. And so we see here different things about our country. I'm reminded about what took place in order for our country to become the country that it is today. We look back in history, we think about John Adams, who signed the Declaration of Independence, who said this. He says, whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind this Declaration of Independence. And if God's will it, if God God wills it, he says, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. Well, you think about those that were patriots. You think about those that stood for patriotism. And by the way, when they stood during those days to fight these colonialists, when they stood fighting army. I'm talking about army after army that would come in, and they would begin to try to overtake the country. And we'll see why here in just a moment. But you know, when they stood and fought, they fought with hunting rifles. They fought with shears, if you will, and they daggers and things of that nature. They didn't have much to be able to fight with. But you see, the decision was declared that they wanted to have a citizenship in a country that was free. A few years prior to that, which is what we would call the Revolutionary War, a few years prior to that, they were under kingship. It was the kingship, if you would please, of King John. King John, of course, was the one that signed that which is called the Great Charter. But before there was the signing of all these things, it was King John that brought anarchy upon the people, and it was King John that decided to be able to harness them in such a way that everybody that was a citizen in the country, they felt like they were enslaved, and the country rose up against him. And the country said, we'll not have this anymore. Well, of course, they got freedom then. But then you'll see this. King George came along, and apparently he ignored all that took place prior to the other king. Now oppression began to come. There was oppressive taxes and regulations that made the people live miserably. And under King George, he decided that if you did not obey, I'm going to declare martial law. And so he did. When people would protest, they were forced to sit down. Their voices were forced to be silent, and there was no way that people could be able to have the freedom that they thought that they needed. There were squads of soldiers that would break up these tax protesters, and news began to spread, and five protesters were killed in Boston, and now it hit the newspaper, and they called it the Boston Massacre. 14 months before the Declaration of Independence was even written, there was a band of armed colonists that said, we're not going to be under this taxation. And there was the Battle of Lexington and Concord. And then, of course, during that battle, there was many that was killed, both on the British side and the Minutemen as well, 366. Not long after that, there was the Battle of Bunker Hill. That lasted for a long time. 2 months after the battle was over, there was 400 Minutemen that was killed inside of the battle. But then Patrick Henry stood up with his fiery patriotic voice there in Virginia as he spoke at the Virginia Providential Convention, and he said this: 3 million people are armed in the holy cause of liberty, and it shall be that the country that we possess shall be that which will not be forced, no force against us. He said, beside this, sir, he said, we shall not fight our battles alone. There's a God, the God, if you would please, that presides on our side, the destiny of the nations. And we will rise up with our friends, and we will fight for the battle. And the battle, sir, he says, is not for the strong. It's not for the vigilant. It is for the active. It's for the brave. He said it beside this, sir. Today, I want you to know that we have no choice. We cannot retire. He said, from the conquest, there is no retreat. There is no submission. There is no slavery. Our chains are already forged. You can hear the clanking of that in the plains of Boston. And gentlemen, he said, you may cry peace and peace, but there will be no peace. It's actually already begun. We're already in the field. Why stand ye here idle? What is it that you gentlemen wish? Would you not have us to go? He says, if life is so dear and peace is so sweet, to purchase it at the price of chains and slavery, God forbid. He said, I know what course others may take. He said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Now, there was those who were patriots just like that. And because of that, there was that Revolutionary War, but they did win. the Revolutionary War. And because of that, we have a nation that's free today. We have a nation that's free today because they stood many, many years ago. I worry about those that are of the liberal belief that believe you ought to do away with the Declaration of Independence and you ought to do away with July 4th. Oh, I think you ought to make a big deal of July 4th. I think you ought to celebrate that we have a free nation, a one nation under God, okay? I think it always ought to be that way. Matter of fact, I think they ought to bring the flag back into the public school arena. I think they ought to stand every morning and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. I think the Bible should be brought back into the public school arena. By the way, when the Bible was in the public school arena, you didn't have all the problems that you have. When they started to take the Ten Commandments down out of the public schools, they said this. They said, the reason that we're taking them down is because we're afraid that somebody might read them. Well, might it have made a difference in all the massacres that's taking place in schools today if somebody would have read in the hallway somewhere a part of the Ten Commandments that said, thou shalt not kill? Might that have made a difference in some of the public school shootings today? As, by the way, those same kids that have gone back in many of those public schools and have committed such atrocities and killed so many people, they were one-time students in those very hallways. So might it have made a difference if we kept the Ten Commandments back in the schools, if we got them back in the schools, kept them in the schools to begin with? Might it have made a difference? Amen. Well, sure, it might have. May I say, as you read something, oftentimes it makes you think, and as you think, oftentimes it makes you want to do something, and as you do something over and over again, it does become a habit. That's why it's good to get the Bible in the schools. That's why it's good to get the Bible in your home. That's why it's good to go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching Baptist church. That's why it's a good thing. Now, can I tell you this morning, we understand the price that was paid. We understand what was laid down. But I want us to consider some things as we look upon these that were forefathers. Our forefathers, as they signed the Declaration of Independence, in essence, they were signing something, yes, to make us that which is independent apart from that which is another country, where we would be an independent country. But the reason that they did that was for religious liberty and to be able to have a freedom as a citizen. And we understand this, that our forefathers had a reliance on God. A reliance on God. Oh, back in those days, my friend, it was nothing to go into a restaurant, a place of eating, and be able to see everybody before they ate their bread bow for prayer. Man, there's nothing to be able to see that. Now today, it's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? I mean, it's an unusual thing. I cannot begin to tell you how many times where I see an older couple and they would bow their heads in prayer and sweetly they would hold hands together. And my wife and I have done this many times where we would pay for their meals and just say thank you. Thank you for being that testimony. Thank you for being that example. You know, it's important that we keep an example out there in our society. Don't let it die. By the way, if it dies, it's because you let it die. Don't let it die. Don't let it die that in our society that you lift up God and you let people know that God is still God and God deserves to be lifted up in the public arena. Here's what we understand this morning. Let me give you some thoughts as we think about this. Our nation was established by men that had a reliance on God, a dependence on God. May I say, statement number one, their dependence on Supreme God, on the Supreme God, their dependence on the Supreme God. You know, our nation, much like the nation of Israel, I read here just a moment ago in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 10, the Bible says that thou eatest and art full. It says, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good, the Bible says, land which he hath given thee. You know, we ought to thank God every day that we live in the land that we live in. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11, the Bible says, beware, it says that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. He said, beware lest ye forget these. Beware, don't forget these. You think about the second paragraph in the Declaration of Independence that begins with these words. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed, it says, by their Creator. The Bible says, with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The last words of the Declaration of Independence reads this. It says, with firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence. What is that? That's God. That's God. The Bible says we mutually pledge, it says, to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. These men were willing to put down their lives so that we could have the country that we have today. You know, a lot of young people, they knew who the baseball players are. They knew who the football players are. And they knew who the actors are. But they don't know who John Henry is. They don't know who George Washington is. They don't know who John Adams or Thomas Jefferson or John Jay is. They don't know the patriarchs that laid their lives down. Were they perfect men? No, we don't have any perfect men in office today. Are you kidding me? Were they men that made mistakes? Yes, and most of them that made mistakes the atrocities that they underwrote later on in their life, they corrected them massively. But nobody brings attention to that. May I say this? May I say that their dependence on a supreme God was very evident in that which is the Declaration of Independence. By the way, if you go, my wife and I just got back from Washington, D.C., and if you'll go up to the city there, you'll see that most of the buildings that were built in the 1700s and 1800s had that which is the mentioning of God in Scripture. You know, you can't even enter into the Supreme Court Justice's chamber without walking through the doors that has the Ten Commandments engraved in the doors. You know, you can't even sit in the house of the Supreme Court Justices, the courthouse that is, without looking over top of them where Moses is standing over top of them, carved in cement or marble. Yeah, all over the city. You see America in Scripture. You see Scripture identifying how they wanted our land to be. Now, may I say, we should never ignore that. We should never ignore the fact of where we came from. Never ignore that. And by the way, you say, well, I'm an immigrant and I came here. Yeah, there's a reason you came here. By the way, I don't see many people running to Mexico. I don't see many people running to El Salvador. I don't see flights with massive of hundreds of thousands of people gatherings because they say, I want to live in Afghanistan. I don't see tens of thousands of people saying, hey, we're going to move and we're going to live in China or we're going to live in Russia. You don't see that. You see that people's coming to the home of the free and the land of the brave. You see that people are coming here. Why? Because God has blessed America. And because America once stood for that which is truth and that which is right. And may I say that America should still stand for that which is truth and that which is right today. And you ought to decide you're going to be one of those that does that. Here's what we understand this morning. We understand that their dependence upon a supreme God. Statement number two, their dependence that which is a selfish self. You know, the reason that God stopped blessing, if you would please, is when they individuals became selfish. Now, I'm dealing with Israel right now. I want you to see Israel. But by the way, these scriptures will remind you so much of America. You'll see that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, that Moses warned not to be satisfied. He warned not to settle down in just the nice houses. He warned not to be lifted up with pride. He warned not to forget God. He gave the warning over and over, and he reminded them of the days when they were in Egypt. And by the way, Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want you to think about this, written 3,400 years plus ago, but listen to it as I read. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14. Beware, the Bible says, lest thou forget the Lord thy God and the keeping of his commandments and judgments and statutes which I command thee this day. He says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and built goodly houses and dwell therein. My, have you seen the housing market? You say, but preacher, I tell you what, America's hurting. I think you need to go out to Forney and tell them that. You said, but you know America's hurting. I know America's hurting. I know that the prices are high. I've got it. But I still see people building houses. They're getting money from somewhere. I still see people, if you would please, moving and buying other houses. They're getting money from somewhere. By the way, I kind of find it hard to believe that America is ever going to become a third world country. I just find it hard to believe. Now, it may be. Maybe the judgment of God will fall on us so much that one day we become a third world country. But can I tell you this? From just looking at it right now, I kind of find it hard to believe it's going to be in the near future at all. America has been a blessed nation, but God says, now, let me remind you not to become that person, if you would please, that settles down and you become self-reliant. He says, lest thou hast eaten, in verse 12, he says, and art full, and build goodly houses and dwell therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and it says, and all that thou hast is multiplied, and thy heart is lifted up, and forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee, it says, forth out of the land of Egypt, it says, from the house of bondage. Well, wait a minute. This is our day of independence. This is a day when we say, we remember back when there was a revolutionary war. We remember back when we were under bondage of another country, and we said, we are not going to be that way, and we want our liberty. And so we stood up, and we fought, and we became a liberated state, a liberated country, and because of that, we have the freedoms that we have today, and we have to understand this, that you and I always should be thankful. Yes, he was talking about Israel going back to Egypt, but how would you like to go back and be under bondage of a different country? How would you like that? Oh, I liked it. I liked it when the voices around America said, made in America. I like that. Why? Because we're feeding money back into our own country. As long as we keep having other countries make our material and we give them the money, we become that which is in bondage to them. But when America begins to stand on her own two feet, can I tell you, we'll be a healthier country. Here's what we understand. We understand in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and back up in verse 7 that Moses told the people that you're here and you're in a good land, it's because of God. You've got springs of water, and it's because of God. You're eating, but don't be satisfied, he said, because God is the one that gave you this. The wisest man among men was perhaps Solomon, who said, as I gave you at the very beginning, righteousness exalteth a nation. So we need to be a nation that exalts that which God has given us, not self-indulgence. Not comfort, not pleasure. Used to be a time when men would just work and be quiet. Now they cry. Used to be men, don't forget, there used to be a time in our country when men would work 5 days a week and they were putting in 15-hour days. Now they whine. We want a five-day week, and don't you dare work us over 8 hours. Matter of fact, we want a four-day week, and don't you dare work us under 8 hours. We want this and we want that. But can I tell you, America was built upon sacrifice. It was built by working people that believed strongly in God. Here's what we understand. Titus chapter 3, if I may read it to you in verse 3, the Bible says that we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. It says serving divers lust, it says, and pleasures, living, it says, and malice and envy and hatred. The Bible says hateful and hating one another. It says we were once that way. In America, they say, well, give us freedom. Don't you preach, preacher. Don't you preach about people smoking cigarettes and stuff like that. Don't you do that. We want our freedom. Yeah, and you're going to wind up getting cancer. By the way, your body is the temple of the living God. Amen. Oh, they get mad at preachers that get up and preach against alcohol, but all they're trying to do is help you not get cirrhosis of the liver. But we want our freedoms. Give us our freedoms. The freedom to be able to, if you will, please, decide that you're a different sex than what you were biologically born with. What's that do? That confuses a whole society. You think about it. The freedom to abort babies at over 63 million before the Supreme Court justices finally made the right decision. What's that do? That gives somebody that has had an abortion continual nightmares and a regretful life the rest of the days of their life. You think about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he said, I want my freedom, I want my freedom, I want my freedom. But there was a time when the prodigal son got tired of living with the hogs. And he said, I've got to get back. What we need is we need Christians. You say, well, I think that person ought to get right, and I think that person ought to get right, and I think that person ought to get right. Why don't we draw a circle around ourselves? Just say, as for me and my house, I think I'm going to get right. I'm saying this morning, their dependence upon a supreme God, their dependence upon their selfish self. Then we see this, and I'm done. Your dependence upon a singular Savior. Your dependence upon a singular Savior. Here's what the Bible says, noteworthy here, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, then it says, thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, says, which brought thee, it says, forth out of the land of Egypt. Listen, it says, from the house of bondage. Doesn't our Bible say that he says, Jesus speaking, John 14, 6, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Doesn't the Bible say, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life? Doesn't the Bible say, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly? Doesn't the Bible teach that he is the one that gives freedom? I've come that you might have freedom. He's talking about, if you would please, that he is the one that makes our soul free. He's the one that sets us free. Before salvation, we're bound in sin. After salvation, I'm free in Christ. Amen. Chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking on to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself to us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, the Bible says, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a zealous of good works. Christ does make the difference. Amen. This past week, I went over to a gas station. I was over in a different part of town. I needed to get gas, but more than that, I wanted some cold water. It was hot out. So I stopped off at a gas station to get a cold bottle of water, and Brother Craig was with me, and we went in to get a cold bottle of water, and the lady was standing, she had the plexiglass and all this, just a young lady, probably in her 20s. And I said, well, I want to give you this, and I want to invite you to church. We have a good church. We got good people at our church. If you ever need a good church, I want you to come. I said, and on the flip side of this tells you how to go to heaven. More important, I want you to come to our church. I want you to go to heaven. Amen. Do you know you're going to go to heaven? Her statement was this, I've always wanted to.
Amen.
Well, that's a key to anybody. Hello. What do you do with that? Well, I hope you find it. God bless you. Have a good day. I said, okay, well, let me just take a minute and just help you a little bit. And so I told her how to be saved. I gave her all the scripture, told her how to be saved. I said, now, would you like to receive Christ? She said, I would.
Amen.
I would. That's at a gas station.
Amen.
You know, people can get saved anywhere.
That's right.
Yes, well, I tell you what, I wish more people would come to church and hear the gospel and get saved. Well, I wish more people would get out of church and go tell people the gospel so they could get saved. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to have a church to train people how to go out and tell others. Too many churches are inward. We're not supposed to have an inward church, my friend. We're supposed to have an outward church. We're here to learn the Bible. We're here to become better Christians. We're here to fortify our faith so that we can go out there and tell somebody, you don't need to die. You don't need to burn in hell. We want you to be saved. That little girl received Christ as her Savior. Now, can I say this? Can I say, here we understand what the Bible talks about when the Bible says here that our dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ should be singular. He's our singular Savior. It's not Him in baptism. It's not Him in being good. It's not Him in church membership. It's not Him in holding out faithful to the end. It's only Christ. When I received Christ as my Savior back in 1979, eons ago, when I bowed my heart and I received Christ as my Savior, that settled it for all eternity. Now, my beloved friend, that doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean that. I don't see anybody in here today that has a perfect hairdo. You thought yours was, but it's not. But I don't see anybody in here that has a perfect hairdo. Yeah, some of you bald men pointing to your hair right now. That's not fair. That's just not fair. I'm telling you, that's just not fair. Pointing to my hair saying, I do. But can I tell you this, that only in Christ can we have forgiveness of sin. Isn't it something how a person will live for themselves all the days of their life? But you know what I've seen, Brother Bell? A person that lives for themselves all the days of their life, when they get old and they get ready to die, they're always disappointed and sorrowful. They always regret it. Oh, but you give me a beloved child of God that says, I'm going to live the rest of my days of my life for Jesus Christ. I'm going to give Him my best. Whatever that best might be that God directs you to do, I'm going to give Him my best. Did you know? I've never seen that person die sorrowful. I've just never seen them. I don't think it's how you start that makes the biggest difference. You listen to me and I'm done. I do believe it's how you finish.
Amen.
It's how you finish. And some of you need to decide you're going to finish right. Because if you finish right, oh my, what a great impression that could make. God loves you and God wants you to be able to serve Him and rely on Him. That's what our forefathers did. And because our forefathers did that, and God used them to develop such a great nation, that's the same way, listen to me now, that's the same way that we keep it.